Expect that God will touch you today. Expect that the Holy Spirit will fill you like you've never experienced before in your life today. But you know what? No matter what God wants to do, if you don't open your heart, it's not going to happen, because God will never override your will. So you open your heart and receive everything that God has in stock for you. Amen? So open your Bible. Actually, it's going to be a teaching. So if you were here last week, I'm not going to necessarily flow in the same way. Last week I was preaching. I'm usually a teacher. But once in a while, that preaching anointing comes on me and I start preaching. You know the difference between preaching and teaching? A teacher explains. A preacher proclaims. Hallelujah. And the both anointings are important. Hallelujah. So, but I'm a teacher. But once in a while, the preaching anointing comes upon me. You know, when I'm teaching, you probably find me asking many questions. When I'm preaching, I can just go. Like last week, I don't think I asked any questions. I just went on and on and on. Glory to God. Be filled with the Spirit, part 4. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'd like someone to read. As usual, we will go around. So hopefully everyone will have an opportunity to read or say something today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Be filled with the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. Thank you. Let's have one more version. One more version. A different one. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, sister.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Okay, so my first question today is this. Are you ready? Now, let me just first explain the background. If you are born again, and I'm not trying to explain to you what it means to be born again. If you have received, you have made a voluntary, conscious, deliberate decision to receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and your Savior. Yeah? You have received light. You have received love. You are born again. You are born spiritually. Hallelujah. You now are restored back into fellowship with God. So when that happens, you receive the Holy Spirit. Because if you receive Christ, you have received the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me? So if you are born again, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. Are you with me? However, that is different from being filled. Hallelujah. You can have the Holy Spirit in you, but not be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the proof that you are filled with the Spirit? When you are filled with the Spirit controls you. Anything you are filled with controls you. There are some people that are filled with lust. So how do you know they are filled with lust? They don't need to tell you. You will see that lust what? Controls them. Some people, they are filled with greed. Covetousness. Bible says covetousness is idolatry. Why? Because you know. They don't need to tell you, but you know as you interact with them that nothing comes out. And they will grab anything they can grab. And they are never satisfied. You know, I feel that, you know, the opposite of greed is contentment. Hallelujah. Now, contentment does not mean poverty. Don't misunderstand it. Contentment means that anywhere you are in your journey, yeah, you are grateful. In fact, the solution to greed is two things: thanksgiving and giving. In fact, thanksgiving is a form of giving. Are you with me? So it doesn't mean, you know, a poor person can be greedy. And a rich person can be contented. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Whatever fuels you control you. So the question I'm asking today is why is it important to be filled with the Spirit? And of course the answer is in Acts 1:8. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you are filled with the Spirit, or you are being controlled by the Spirit, or you are under the influence of the Spirit. Like me, I'm under what? The influence of the Spirit. I know. I mean, if you were to just remove that influence from me, I would just be probably, you know, a very introverted person just in my corner. Talk to nobody. Who is like that in this church? You know? Don't touch me, I won't touch you. You know? But when you are filled with the Spirit, you're a different person. Hallelujah. Why is it important to be filled with the Spirit? Let's take two answers. Why is it important to be filled with the Spirit? The answer is in Acts 1:8. Yes? Why is it that if as a wise believer, you should not afford not to be filled with the Spirit? Because we know you are born again and you are going to heaven. So if you are not filled with the Spirit, you are going to heaven. Still, maybe. Okay, maybe. But ordinarily speaking, you're a child of God when you're born again. But why is it important to be filled with the Spirit?
I think it's important to be filled with the Spirit so that you can lead a Spirit-filled life and that you can be a witness.
Hallelujah. You see that? You know, I like that one. He said, it is important to be filled with the Spirit so that you can live a Spirit-filled life. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you will struggle. That's why you're struggling. That's why you're struggling to live right. The reason why you're struggling to live right is not because you're the weakest person on earth. You are not. There are weaker people than you. Are you with me? There are weaker people than you that are doing well spiritually because they are filled. They are empowered. They are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, another answer you gave was that you'll be able to be a witness. So let me just vary this question. What does it mean to be a witness? He said, well, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost part of there. What does it mean to be a witness? Yes, sister.
I'll quote what Amplifier says. It says to tell people about me, that is to tell people about God.
Okay, so to be a witness means to tell people about God. Yes, that's one definition. Can we have other definitions? To be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness for Jesus? I'm taking four answers. To be a witness for Jesus, what does that mean to you?
To me, it means that your life or your personality reflects the person of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. Anybody like to give me another dimension or anything better? But that's very good. I could stop there. Okay, let's take brothers now. Okay.
Yeah, just to add, I noticed it said be a witness, not doing witnessing. and there are two different things. When you are a witness, is a being, is what you
it's
are.
It's something you have. A life you live.
A life.
You Hallelujah. Live. Let's take one more answer. What does it mean to be a witness?
I think it means to be salt.
To be salt and light. Jesus said you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Yes? Let's take the last answer now.
To be witnesses, to be a living testimony.
To be what?
A living testimony.
A living test. I love, all the answers are super. Now, let me just make this comment. You know, I remember once, someone just asked me, he said, where are the brothers? So, sisters now, where are the sisters today? Look around. The brothers are winning you today. You see that? Hallelujah. I said, the brothers are coming. They are on the sideline. They are coming, both single and married. Both single and... As long as there are single men in this church, single men will come. Godly men. Hallelujah. They are coming. Both young and old. Hallelujah. They are coming. They are already on the sideline. You can't see. I see there in the spirit. You can't see, but they are there on the sideline. Hallelujah. You better be careful what you say, because God will surprise you. Hallelujah. You see, the reason why you have to be filled with the Spirit is so that you can receive power to be a witness. Meaning that when you are filled with the Spirit, you can live a powerful life. That is God's plan for you. You see, every time for you as a Christian that you live like a weak, you know, just getting around the corner person, you are not glorifying God. God wants you to be powerful, influential, impactful. God wants you to be the example of Jesus to the world. Many people will never see Jesus for all their lifetime. They are this Jesus they will see. Hallelujah. And you should be everything that Jesus is when he lived. And even greater. Because Jesus said, greater things you will do than I do.
But you cannot be that until you are empowered by the Spirit. A quick comment to make is that it's not a one-off thing. It's, be filled with Spirit is a continuous lifetime process. You can be filled today and be drained tomorrow. You know that. How many times did you drink water yesterday? You know, it was a sunny day. If you don't tell me, Crystal will. How many times did you drink water yesterday?
It's about 5 times.
About 5 times. Now, the question is, are you going to drink water today?
Most surely.
Most surely. Are you with me? The fact that you were filled once, that's not the end of the story. The reason why you need to be filled is because you will be drained. The command to be filled guarantees you that you will be drained. So the only way to remain filled is to continue to drink. Is to continue to receive. Hallelujah. God's plan for you is not to be a weakling in life. God's plan for you is to be powerful. That's why he told the disciples, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. In fact, I don't think that was the only thing. I think he said that, but they understood it as don't leave the upper room. Maybe they just got hide in the upper room. But thank God they were praying. Hallelujah. They were what? Praying. He said, don't. He said, now I'm going, but you remain here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said, because you shall receive power. Everybody say power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you can live differently. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the world. Jesus said something. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. It's not that you may. It's that you will have tribulation. So there's a prayer we pray, but it's just a prayer for granted. You say, God, let everything just be smooth in my life. Perfect. Okay. No problem. No challenges. We pray it again and again. It's good. Keep praying it. It's good for your emotions. Yeah? Hallelujah. But in the world, you will face challenges. It's the way the world is structured because this world is not perfect. In the world to come, you will not face any challenges. Bible says there will be no dying. There will be no weeping. There will be no crying. There will be no sorrow. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that he will wipe all our tears away. Hallelujah. That word is coming. The Bible says that in that word, nothing will hurt. Hallelujah. He said the lion and the lamb. And they will sit together. The Bible said the lion will eat grass. All that desire to eat blood will go. It's the sign of the fallen nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand? We are living in a fallen world. We are also living in a fallen flesh. Hallelujah. If you are going to make it in life, you need the power of the Holy Spirit activated in you daily. Hallelujah. That's why he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Then you can be a witness. Hallelujah. There are many ways that people can know that you're a Christian. They can know when you tell them. They can know when you're nice to them. But I tell you, if Jesus came to Basingstoke, what would make him different? Have you thought about it? Assume he announced to nobody that he's Jesus, but he's living in Basingstoke for a month. How will you hear about him? You know, Jesus never used publicity pamphlets. You know, they never announced on the radio. Okay, today we are holding a crusade in Old Basin. Are you with me? Why did they know? You know why they knew? He carried power, and when you carry power, you are going to touch lives. When you touch lives, they will tell other people, "Come and see." Hallelujah. So, God's plan for you is to live a powerful life. That power is beyond your education. In fact, your education is nothing compared with the power of God. You know, that's to demonstrate it, that's why Jesus, the first people he called as his apostles were fishermen. Why? Do you know that when Jesus was calling his fishermen, you know Saul was there? Saul was a PhD holder. You don't know. The Pharisees were the PhD holder. I can prove it to you from the Bible. They were called doctors of the law. You know this PhD business, it's been long ago. Are you with me? them. He went to fishermen. Why? Because you know he's going to give them something that is beyond the education. You know, sometimes it grieves my heart when people, because of their education, feel they are something. You're nothing, you're flesh. All the knowledge is still flesh. Hallelujah. But take that education, mix it with the power of God. Ah, the devil is in big trouble. Are you with me? You woke up one day and you look at the mirror and you find out that you are beautiful. Hello, sister. How are you? You are all beautiful, by the way. Glory to God. Let me tell you some one secret you didn't know. God never gave birth to one ugly daughter. Let me explain that again. God never gave birth to what? One ugly daughter. So I'm trying to remind you that your value is not in a man affirming you. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, if you're a daughter of God, if you're a son of God, you already have infinite value. I can show you from the Bible. You know what God calls you in the Bible? He said you are a royal diadem. It's in Isaiah. He said you are what? A royal diadem. He said you are polished like in the likeness of a palace. That's why nobody should be riding you anyhow. You are polished in the likeness of what? You have every right to call yourself a princess. Because that's who you truly are. Hallelujah. He said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let me try to explain it in a different way. When the Holy Spirit fills you, power will be flowing out of you. Hallelujah. Now, the worst thing you can do is be filled and then just go off and get drained and do nothing about it. Like I was saying last week, I said, it's like the law of sowing and reaping. When you sow, whatever you sow, just think like a farmer. There is always a waiting time between when you sow and when you reap. The reason why some people don't sow is because they can't wait. Hallelujah. Yeah? So when you sow, then you what? You wait. In that waiting period, you need to use your faith. And then what? You reap. It's the same thing even with healing and confession. That's why we talk about confession. You sow your faith. But there's a waiting time between sowing and reaping. The waiting time varies depending on the type of harvest you are expecting. Some things you sow now, you may start some seeds, they start growing from the next day. You see them. Some take longer. It depends on the type of harvest. Are you with me? You sow, you wait, and what? You reap. Hallelujah. As it is true physically, it is true spiritually. Hallelujah. To remain filled with the Spirit, you have to continue to feed and drink of the Spirit. So let's move on. Before I think now I'm just in that region between preaching and teaching. The anointing just solve it. I can't help it, but let me try. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Because the next thing I'd like to show you is how can you be filled? How can you be filled with the Spirit? Very important. Otherwise, this message has no meaning. How can you be filled with the Spirit? John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. But before that, just make a confession. Say to yourself, say, I want to live a powerful life. That's the perfect will of God for you. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, it's important that I go. He said, greater works you will do than I'm doing. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he has released his Holy Spirit. And when you are filled, you are a different person. Hallelujah. You see, when people are under the control of alcohol, they are what? Different people. They start to speak in tongues. You don't know. You need to listen to people that are drunk. They will speak in tongues. It's just that it's not the tongues of angels. They will speak rubbish. It's in the Bible, Proverbs. Proverbs said you will speak. Let me show you. Sorry to divert you. I just wanted to, just as on a lighter note, yeah? Let me show you something that you read, but you might have missed it.
Please let me find it. He's talking about people who spend long time at the wine. That their eyes will see and their ears. Look for it. Look for it. It's in Proverbs. I cannot quickly pick the chapter, so I'm looking for someone to help me. Those that tarry long at the wine. Where is it now? Anyone found it yet? Don't worry, I will find it. Let's see if we will find it first. He's talking about those that tarry long at the wine, that their eyes will see. Proverbs 23, I think it is. It rings a bell. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 23. See what he's saying there. Proverbs chapter 23. Yes, please open your Bible. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs what? 23. Last. Proverbs 23. Let's begin to read from verse 29 to 35. This is just on a lighter note. Okay. It's a little drama is going on there. Who would like to read? Proverbs 23. Verse 29 to 35. Yes, brother.
Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises?
Who has
bloodshot eyes?
Redness of eyes. Yes.
Those who linger over wine will go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Should I go on?
Continue. Yeah, we are leading to the end.
Do not gaze at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the hand it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper.
Then what will happen?
Then your eyes will see.
Your eyes will see strange things. Yes?
Yeah, your eyes will see strange sights.
Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes?
Yeah, and your mind will imagine confusing things.
Continue.
You will be like one sleeping on the ice seas.
Are you listening to that?
Lying on top of the rigging.
Are you listening to that? Continue.
They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hot. They beat me, but I don't feel it.
Yeah.
When will I wake up so I can find another drink?
Yeah. Hallelujah, are you with me? What led me there was to tell you that people who are under the influence of alcohol, they speak in tongues. It's just not the tongues of angels. Their heart will utter what? Perverse things. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But that's not where we're going. Why I say that is that when you're under the influence of the Spirit, yeah? When you're under the control of the Spirit, hallelujah, you will live a powerful life. Hallelujah. You will rise you rise above your earthly limitations. When you are filled with Spirit, you find yourself less and less complaining about your weaknesses. Because you have lots to do for God or with God. Hallelujah. The devil's plan is to try to keep you always in the earthly realm. Think like a man. Imagine like a man. Plan like a man. Because you know that once you are in that sense realm, you cannot do anything spiritual. You cannot achieve anything spiritual for God. Are you with me? He will come and remind you of your past. It will remind you of all the good things in this world. Imagine the devil taking Jesus to the top. Jesus! And showing him all the beauties of the world. So that means that if it was not a genuine temptation, yeah, then devil was wasting his time. That means that devil knew that he could tempt Jesus with all the things that this life has to offer, isn't it? So if he could do that, who are you? How much better are you compared to Jesus? So if you want to stay on the earthly realm, you are in Satan's domain. That's the way you can hear his voice. Because he understands the way it works. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can taste, and what you can feel. Those are the areas that Satan can master, jump about. But when you rise to the realm of the Spirit, he can't understand you. Hallelujah. He will hit you and think you are down. Then you rise again in the power of God. He can't understand you. He will be confused. As the song says, it says, I speak in tongues. And Satan is what? He's confused. Hallelujah. So let's go back to John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Let's have someone read now. Did I give a mic already? Yes? Okay. Someone who has not read today. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Yes, who would like to read? Okay, brother. John chapter 7, verse 37 to verse 39.
In the last day, the great that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified."
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when the Bible says Jesus was not yet glorified, in the literal sense, what it simply means is that Jesus had not yet risen from the dead. When the Bible talks about being glorified, it means he didn't yet have a new body. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose, it's different from when Lazarus rose from the dead. When Lazarus rose from the dead, he still came back into his, you know, fallen, death-doomed body. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose up, what? With a new body. That's why when Mary said, he said, "Don't touch me yet. I need to go and report." Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, so when Bible talks about being glorified, he's talking about that that's the difference between resurrection and just being raised from the dead. At the resurrection, the true believers will be raised with a new body. It doesn't matter whether the old body was, for those who have died, it doesn't matter whether their body was cremated or whether it was buried in the grave or eaten by fish. Hallelujah. God has a full, complete record of every cell and every DNA in your body. When it's time for glorification, it will reform all those cells, but in a glorified form. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Hallelujah! It's the blessed hope of believers. You see, it's important for you not just to be established in faith. It's important for you not just to be established in love. You also have to be established in hope. But I try to explain that the Christian hope is different from normal hope. You know, we say, like when we preach, we say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, for example, if I'm hoping for a car, where is Samuel? You know? And then I have faith. That's one level of interpreting that scripture. Are you with me? Because we are using human hope to explain faith. That's human hope. Human hope is, I wish for this. And fingers crossed, best wishes, it will happen. That's human hope. And United Kingdom is very good for what? Human hope. This house, fingers crossed. Then they press the button. Oh, national lottery. Fingers crossed. Are you with me? The God hope is not fingers crossed. The God's hope is certain, sure, firm. And the God's hope, kind of hope, is just one thing. That hope of resurrection. That hope of heavenly reward. It's future. It's to come. But it keeps you going. Hallelujah. Sometimes we may be discouraged. But when you remember that a day is coming, when it will all be what? Over. A day is coming where you will enter into rest. Finally. Hallelujah. There's a way it refreshes you when you're going to trial. Hallelujah. You know that time is coming where you will enter into glory. It's sure. So the God kind of hope is heaven as we know it. Now, why is faith the substance of things hoped for? Because faith enables you to experience heaven on earth. Are you with me? Now, that's the more spiritual way to interpret that scripture. Both are valid. It's just to see it from both ways. Hallelujah. You know, someone says, there are set of people that just say, well, you know, let's just manage through this world. Everything will be okay when we get to heaven. Yeah? They have hope, but they don't have faith. You got it? So, some Christians, all they want is, let's just manage through. That's why some people rejected Christianity. You're like, all they are preaching is you should suffer and manage and endure. Then one day, we'll go to heaven. Even one musician sang it. He said, suffer, suffer for this world. Enjoyment for heaven. But he's not happy. He didn't like it because he said he wants to have his own enjoyment. No. He said, because those who are preaching to you, they are enjoying. You are suffering. Hallelujah. Heaven is hope, but faith delivers the realities of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. It is through your faith that you download that which is in heaven to your earthly experience. Hallelujah. So hope is important. It keeps you going. Sometimes when you're doing the work of God, you may be discouraged. But when you remember that one day, he will reward you. Imagine,
when people are unfaithful, but you are being faithful, and what keeps you going? It's not just faith is not enough to keep you going. Because for you to have faith, you need to have hope. Hallelujah. For you to try to walk the journey to where you are going, you need to know where you are going or have an idea of where you are going. Are you with me? And your hope, there's a way it stabilizes you in your walk. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that if it's only in this world that we have hope, we have of all men the most miserable. We are competing, you know, for the best, you know. Who is the most pretty? Who is the most beautiful? Who is the richer? Who can, you know, who is the most... You are competing with the people of this world. You are living like people who don't have what? Hope. Hallelujah. When you have hope, you still live your life the way you should. You still work hard, but it's for a different... You have a different perspective. Hallelujah. The goal of everything I do in life is to advance the kingdom. Now, in the process of advancing the kingdom, God will bless me. And I will enjoy it. Hallelujah. That is the way to live. Hallelujah. And when you have that type of mindset, you are not competing with anybody. You know why? Because your target is much higher than them all. Your target is heaven. It's above them. Hallelujah. You are not trying to address anybody. You know why? Because you already know that you have value inside. Hallelujah. Your value is not determined by your dress. Your value is determined by what you carry inside. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how beautiful the house is. If the inside is smelly, I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Go back to John 7. Let's take that question again. So the question is, I'm looking for some like five answers. From John 7 alone, John 7 verse 37 to 39. John 7 verse 37 to 39. The question is, how can you be filled with the Spirit? The keys are there. Jesus gave us all the keys we need to be filled with the Spirit. In John 7 verse 37 to 39. In my notes, I have like four or five answers. Different. Yes? How can you be filled with you? First of all, what is the first fundamental basic thing you need if ever you're going to be filled with the Spirit? Sister Pamela. Thirsty. Let's go again.
We need to be thirsty.
You need to be what?
Thirsty.
Thirsty. Hallelujah. I don't know if I want to beat that point. Let me just beat it a little. But I've done it before. You can see. That's why I built this message, if you've been following us, when I talk about what are you thirsty for, what are you hungry for, I would say blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Why? Because they will feel. Bible says, seek and you shall what? Find. Hallelujah. Ask you will receive, seek and you shall find. You have to be thirsty. Now, sometimes we misunderstand our test. God showed me this. You know, there are sometimes that when you are feeling down, anybody here ever felt down before? My hand is up. You know why you feel down? The world is not perfect. Hallelujah. So don't try to build your permanent home in this world. I have a good home. Don't misunderstand me. I have a good home. Some people, their every waking moment, they're trying to beautify their earthly home. Whereas their heavenly home is poor, rugged, scattered because they are not building anything. When they finish their life, what will they have to show? Someone else will inherit the one they beautified. They may even tear everything down and start again. Hallelujah. You have to be thirsty. But sometimes we misunderstand our thirst. You see, when you're feeling down, don't see it as a signal for you to go and download soap opera, Coronation Street, all those garbage. And, I'm feeling so that I need a nice movie now. Sorry? No, let's give it. I didn't get you. Say that again.
Desperate housewife.
Desperate what? You don't want to mess with desperate housewife. They know things that you don't know. And you mess with them, they will teach you. By the way, I don't know the meaning of desperate. That's why. Okay, so I don't mean anything. Hallelujah. So the natural tendency we have is that I need to unwind now. I'm so wound up. And I need to unwind. So you sit down and begin to download content. It's serious content. It's full of language, nudity, violence. It's full of profanity, lewdness. All the works of the flesh is there, and you are just downloading it in the name of entertainment. Are you understanding me? I'm not judging you. You have the liberty. Amen? You have the what? The liberty to eat either donut or pizza. I can't judge that. You understand?
But if your stomach is not compatible with pizza, don't eat it. Are you with me? Let me explain to you. That's what how we respond normally, because you are not feeling good. Are you with me? Some people, when they're not feeling good, you know, if they have been so inclined, they look for solace in alcohol because they want to feel good. But although alcohol is the worst way for you to try to feel good. Because when alcohol, it will take you high. Then it will slam you down. It has no pity. Are you with me? So, but the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, when you are low, it's a signal for you to take a walk and pray. Are you with me? Just take a walk and pray. Initially, when you start doing it, the flesh will resist and say, no, go and watch your movie. But you just do it by faith. When you've done it a few times, it'll be just, it's like when you are detoxicating. You know, when someone who is addicted to something, when they want to detoxicate, it'll be as if they go through what? Withdrawal symptom. If you want to know that whether you are addicted to anything, try to stop it. If you're having withdrawal symptoms, you are addicted. You know, so let's go that again. Anything in your life that you cannot stop doing, what are you? And anything you're addicted to, we reduce the value of your faith. Take it from me. Because it has an idol. Anything you can't stop is what? An idol. But when you make a mind to stop it, you first of all experience withdrawal symptom. The beer has to do, you know, I'm not okay. But after a while, you begin to enjoy it. So when I'm there, I just go for a walk. If I can't go for a walk, you know, if I can't go for a walk, God help me that the kitchen is dirty and full of dishes. I just go there. With the annoyance of my lowness, I begin to wash the bed. I begin to pray in tongues. I wash it so slowly, but I'm praying in tongues. 30 minutes, I'm done. When I finish, I'm happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just added value to my home and value to my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to be thirsty for God. And sometimes we misunderstand our spiritual thirst and we try to satisfy it with earthly things. Do you understand? Sometimes you may feel empty. It's because you need more of Him. You need the river of living water. I know you drank it before, but as you go through this life, you will be drained. Take it from me, you will be what? Drained. So you have to drink again. But instead of drinking the real water, this thing is in scripture, it's in the Old Testament. He said, they have abandoned me, the source of living water. They have grown for themselves broken cisterns, basket. Are you with me? No. It's the living water you need. So you have to be thirsty. But I would like to say this way. You have to know. You're not just being thirsty. We are all thirsty. You have to be thirsty for righteousness. You have to be thirsty for more of God. Because Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why are they blessed? Because they shall be filled. It's like guaranteed. So if I'm not being filled with the Spirit, what's the first thing to look for? I'm not thirsty for more of God. That's why. Very important key. Yes, second key. What other step do you need to be filled with the Spirit? It's all there in John 7, 37 to 39. So be thirsty, that's the first thing. We have like, let me see. We have like three more answers. Yes? Yes, I've done it. Just a minute. Yes?
You have to believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. I will help you modify that answer very soon. But it's a good answer. Yes?
Let Him come.
Sorry?
Let Him come.
You have to let Him come. Yes? Same line. Good answer. Yes? I'm looking for one word. I've mentioned it already.
Come to Jesus.
You have to come to Jesus. Yes. Again, same answer. Yes. Okay, let's stop there. Yeah. You just eat it. Hallelujah. You have to come to Jesus and drink. Can you believe that there are some people that they are living right beside the river of living water every day, but they are not drinking? Some people are in a good church, but they are not growing. You know why? Their heart is not open. How can God help them? How can? You have to drink. Who does the drinking? God or you? So you see the problem? You sit down and say, Lord, you know, I really want to move forward spiritually. This year, 2017, I will move forward spiritually. That's my resolution. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes? And every day you're saying, God, you know, I've already, you know, keep reminding God, you know, this year, I've already told you I'm going to move forward. So just continue to help me to move forward. Your routine is exactly the same. Desperate housewife. No moving forward. You know why? You're not drinking. God cannot drink for you. Even your wife or your husband or your brother or sister or parent cannot what? Drink for you. It's a personal thing. Have you ever wondered about it, that this eating business is personal?
I don't know.
Have you ever thought about it, that the eating business is what? Personal. It's like, okay, oh, this is very nice food, so please eat it for me. Hallelujah. You have to drink. You have to come to Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. And you have to what? Drink. You know what it means to drink? Open your mouth and let what he offers go in. You cannot drink with your mouth closed. Let's move on. Yes, I think we hit it. So let me tell you my list just to confirm what you said. You have to be thirsty, which means desire more of God. You have to come, which means you have to ask God to fill you. Like that is a believe in Jesus, come to Jesus. You have to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Bible says everyone that asks what? Receive. Do you know actually that what I'm reading now, I just got a revelation there. Amen. But I won't go because of time. Let you check. There are two places in the Bible talk about ask and receive. It's in Matthew and I think it's in Luke. One of them, he continues and says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? So that means that actually, in terms of the spiritual illustration, I know we use it in different ways. If you look at it, the complete illustration Jesus was giving is, he was saying, in terms of asking, seeking, and knocking, he was referring to being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. If I want to be filled with the Spirit, every morning I'm asking him to fill me afresh. I do it. Even though my secret, that's one of my secrets. I do it. Fill me and I say, I'm open, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know when you want God to fill you? You have to be ready to die. I don't mean like die. I mean, when God wants to walk in your life sometimes, it looks like everything you hold on to and means a lot to you has to let go. Hallelujah. And when you're holding tight, you're not seeking. You have to be willing. You see, it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. If you're still thinking that God has any plan to take something good away from your life, you're making a big mistake. You don't have faith in God. It's a trust issue. When I come to that point where I trust completely that every good and perfect gift comes from God, when I trust completely that his thoughts towards me are never of evil, but of good. If there's any problem in my life, it is God. Only God that is guaranteed to be committed to solving it. Others may show interest, but they may also lose interest. But only God is on my side permanently. Even my father and my mother, or your father and your mother, and not on your side permanently. I know they love you. In fact, personally, I feel that the people that love you most in your life are your parents. Maybe because you came from them, I don't know. Your wife also loves your husband, but your parents, there's just something about that bond that is different. Amen? They are bad parents too. Okay. But David said, he said, even if my father and my mother forsake me, so he's showing us that actually, even the love of a mother for a baby cannot be compared with the way God is committed to you. And the reason is because you came out from God. You are a spirit. And God is the father of spirits. So God is the manufacturer of the product. And when you manufacture a product, the success of that product is your permanent commitment. Yeah, if you go to Honda as a company, they don't want any of their cars to fail.
That's why when there's a problem, they quickly do a recall and fix it for free. Because they are committed to the success of that. Because the success of that project is their own success. Hallelujah. Your success is God's success. It's a trust issue. So when I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, if some things have to give way in my life, let them give way. Hallelujah. Why should I hold on to the little bit when God has greater things ahead for my life? Hallelujah. Are you with me? You have to ask to be filled with a readiness for God to work in your life. Then you have to drink. Hallelujah. You have to release yourself and let the Holy Spirit, you know, guide your life. You have to cooperate with Him. You have to yield to Him. Part of drinking is yielding. Amen? Time is run out, so I'll begin to round up now. Okay, so let me just round up on this note. Ephesians, so this last place I'm opening today. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Let's open. So I begin to hope to round up in the next 5 minutes. Ephesians 5, 18. Again, the third Bible reading. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. And the question for this one today is, what is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? So, who would like to read Ephesians 5, 18 to 21? Yes, Sister Nika, I've not read today, so I'd like to go on. Sister Frida, are you still there? Sister Frida, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Yes?
Do not get drunk with wine.
Do not get drunk with wine.
For that is wickedness.
For that is what? I've never heard that one before. That is what?
Wickedness.
Wow, that's an... Which version is that?
Amplified.
Wow, How come I don't know it? I never heard it said like that. Wickedness. Wow. Yeah, no. Okay, go on, please.
In brackets, corruption, stupidity.
Oh, no.
But be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And constantly guided by Him.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, offering by praise, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I know that, you know, I hope to be a popular preacher and teacher. Please, you can sit down. No, you're not finished. Please finish.
Always giving thanks to God.
That's verse 20.
Yes. For all things.
Yes.
In the name of our Father Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Being subject to one another, heart of reference for Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let me make a comment, then I'll ask the question. Let me tell you of a truth. If you really mean business to be filled with the Spirit and to live a powerful life, one of the things you need to do is sign a document and say, I'm done with alcohol forever. The Bible says, don't get drunk with wine. So the key to not getting drunk with wine is don't drink it. Have you ever seen someone who was drunk with wine that didn't drink it? No. Proverbs 21 says, wine is a mocker. It's a deceiver. You know, one of the things I found out that you say, okay, I can drink, but you know, it's not every time I drink I get drunk. I don't understand. But what you need to understand is that there are different levels of drunkenness. Yeah, there's a drunkenness for cursing, there's a drunkenness for lying, there's a drunkenness for accidents, there's a drunkenness for murder. Various levels of intoxication, I'm just trying to say. Now, he said don't get drunk with wine because that's not the type of drink you need. Usually when you drink wine, because you're trying to make yourself feel good, yeah? But Bible is saying that there is something that will not only make you feel good, it will empower you to live right. And I told you, I give you a challenge. If you want to go anywhere and show me somebody who drank alcohol and did the right thing because of the alcohol they drank. So, please understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying that they've been struggling to do the right thing. They now drank alcohol. Then, that thing now inspired them to do the right thing. No. It will never. Because alcohol, what it does, it dulls your mind and it numbs your body. So, in that stage, you are ready to do the work of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not a law. I want you to understand the impact of this thing. But there is a different alcohol you need to be drinking. That's the one I drink. I drink wine. Hallelujah. I drink it. And it empowers me. It's the wine of the Spirit. You know why I like to drink the wine of the Spirit?
There is no way you can be filled with the Spirit that you do wrong. And that's why I told you that not every believer is filled with the Spirit. Even the most people that come to look spiritual, they may come and lead prayer, speak in tongues from morning to night. If you see the fruit of their life and they are doing evil, they are only speaking tongues. They are not filled with the Spirit. You know, you can be speaking tongues and not be filled with the Spirit, because you can, after you receive the gift, you can speak it mechanically, isn't it? Hallelujah. The ultimate proof that you are filled with the Spirit is the fruit you are bearing. So he said, by their fruit, you shall know them. But I don't want to go into that because of time. Let's ask the question and say, so what I'm trying to advise you today is, if you have any alcohol in your house, yeah, go and bin it. Drink, pour it. So speak to it in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm done with you today in the name of Jesus. If you have any altar to alcohol in your home, it's an altar to a false god. Go and burn it down. Yeah, don't give it to somebody else. Burn it and say, I'm done with you. I want to move on. Let me tell you something about alcohol. When alcohol compromises as a believer, what it does to you, it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Don't misunderstand that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you are. It doesn't mean you're not going to still be a nice person. But it caps your progress. It caps it. You know why? Because every time that God gives you hunger for more, you will just drain that hunger down with some alcohol. You understand? So sometimes you may be feeling hunger too, and maybe that hunger is saying we want to make you pray or fast. But by the time you just top up a little alcohol, that's the end of fasting. That's the end of praying. No, whatever that alcohol and felt like praying. Don't drink it, don't serve it. Leave it for those who are ready to be ruined. Yeah? You are on a mission. Hallelujah. To live a powerful life. Hallelujah. You're on a mission to live victoriously. You're on a mission to touch people for good. Amen? Okay, final question now. What is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit from Ephesians 5:18-21? All the evidence is there. When you are filled with the Spirit, how can we know? Yes? Give me the first one. Look at it. Ephesians 5:18-21. Let me read it again, just for your reminder. That's where we are ending today. Ephesians 5:18-21. Where are we? Okay, Bertella, you can help me. So begin to round up. Ephesians 5:18-21. I'll just read it. It said, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart, and giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? Yes? I need five. Yes?
Giving thanks.
Are you with me? When you're filled with the Spirit, you find that you complain less and you give thanks more. You are more thankful. And it works the other way. When you are more thankful, you are more filled with the Spirit. When you are more complaining, the Spirit will just go and hide. Yes? Another evidence of being filled with the Spirit? Yes. I need five.
You will have the fear of God in you.
You have the fear. You talk about reverence for God. The fear of God. Hallelujah. You will fear God. Fear God means that you can't just do things anyhow. You understand? I mean, I can't just beat up someone because they annoy me. I may feel like, you see, those who beat up people and those who don't, there's not much difference between them. They both felt like beating up somebody. Have you ever felt like beating up somebody? They both felt like, the difference is that one did it and one didn't. And one of the things that can stop you from doing it is the fear of God. Yes? Let's have three more answers. What is the evidence of being filled with Spirit? The answer is in Ephesians 5:18-21. Actually, I need four more answers. Yes?
Praise God. I'm just going to use one of the evidence.
Yes, say.
You'll become a witness.
You'll become what? A witness. You'll be powerful. You live a powerful life. Absolutely. Yes? Ephesians 5:18-21. What are the evidences that someone is filled with the Spirit? Yes?
You always praise the God.
Praise! Your life will be full of praise. Bible says it dwells in the midst, it inhabits the praises of his people. Say, Paul and Silas, they were in prison, they prayed, and they sang, and the prison was shaking. Hallelujah. Yes? Any other sign? You're not telling me the most obvious sign, where we all know. Yes? Any sign? of being filled with the Spirit?
Yes, I've said it. That's singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord.
Yes. So someone will speak with you, they are more likely to sing than others. That's why you understand. That's why we sing a lot in church. It's part of spiritual worship. Yes? Okay, let me just round up. Some things we're not saying. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will speak. You will speak and sing and pray spiritual. So when you say spiritual songs, you know what a spiritual song is? It's a song in tongues. Hallelujah. It's not a song. It's a spiritual song is not like, it's a song in tongues. So when you are filled with the Spirit, you will speak in tongues. You will sing in tongues. You will pray in tongues. Hallelujah. It's a sign that you are filled. And the final sign that you are filled with the Spirit is that you will be submissive. Very important key. So you may see someone, they look very spiritual, they speak in tongues, they look like they know all the word, but you cannot correct them. If you correct them, they are gone. They are not what? Submissive. They are not full of the Spirit. When people are full of the Spirit, they are teachable, they are submissive. They can be flexible. Amen? I remember once, you know, when we had a meeting, and my brother told me something, you know, and I overruled it in the meeting. But he allowed it. After the meeting, he told me his part, but he allowed it. That's submissiveness. Hallelujah. It causes harmony. Amen. But imagine that he gets angry for the whole meeting. That means that anything that God wants to do that day, zero. Do you remember what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah. We'll be submissive. We'll be willing to listen, willing to adapt, willing to be flexible, willing to be taught, willing to be mentored, willing to take correction. Amen. Sometimes God may want to teach something by someone you are much older than. How will you learn if you are not submissive? Amen. So those are the evidences of being faithful. So I just want to show you today that it's beyond just speaking in tongues. Yeah? It's a bigger package. Hallelujah. So what I want us to do now, as we round up the service, is just one prayer point. And because the Holy Spirit is already here. Amen. And the prayer point is, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. It cannot be better than that. Now listen, if you are born again, you have every right to make that request. Amen? He said, how much more? I want to tell you something. There's one request you can make in your life that you can never get wrong. And you can never receive wrong. Is that prayer for the Holy Spirit. Because how much more would the Father give? He said, if you, your children have you asking for bread, will you give them stone? If they ask you for a fish, will you give them serpent? No. That means that there's a prayer point that you can be sure that you cannot miss. When you ask God to feed you the Holy Spirit, there is only one thing you will get. What will you get? The Holy Spirit. Now pray that prayer to God sincerely.